Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. When you're a key player on Netflix mega hit series Virgin River, what do you do next? You executive produce and co-write Selvin's Crossing, the new drama series launching on the CW last night. Rebel Ross joins me next in an internet radio exclusive live from Canada. Also ahead, SAG-AFTRA's stop-and-start deal approach, ESPN NAB's virtual golf under Tiger and Rory, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and more than 40 other great podcast locations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour is brought to you by Laird Superfood, plant-based coffee creamers and other products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. 65 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple, and on this Thursday afternoon, we welcome you to a special edition of the program all about TV, current, and future. Have a wonderful guest coming your way over the course of the next half hour or so, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and dial in, and when you do, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is in any way you're catching us across the country around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And our chat room is open as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect and interact with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Rebel Ross from Sullivan's Crossing joins us live from Halifax, Nova Scotia, after these news notes. For the second time this week, the Screen Actors Guild has enacted a day-long timeout under its effort to reach a new multi-year agreement with the TV Motion Picture Producers Alliance, known as AMPTP. This, despite reports that progress on a new pact was made during the latest round of negotiations yesterday. Talks will resume tomorrow, and already SAG-AFTRA reps are declaring that no further talks will happen this weekend if necessary. Instead, Monday will be the next face-to-face meeting. No comment on the reaction from SAG-AFTRA membership to this approach for ending their strike now in its third month. And will become the home of TGL, the new virtual golf competition co-created by Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. Match play events will start next January, covered on ABC, ESPN, or ESPN2. Each event will also be simulcast on ESPN+. SoFi is the lead sponsor on this series and will present a preview show December 30th on ABC. Now, quickies. 007 Road to a Million, the James Bond-style adventure competition with $1 million or pounds top prize, comes to Prime Video November 10th. Netflix four-episode docuseries Mysteries of the Faith begins November 1st. David Harewood narrates. Popular video game Cyberpunk 2077 is getting developed into a live-action scripted series. Mr. Robot Making Organization Anonymous Content is organizing the venture. Peabody-winning dramedy Sort Of will come to an end after three seasons. Max will offer Season 3 early next year, following a Canadian debut next month on CBC. And Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul creator overseer Vince Gilligan is disclosing details about his next television series coming to Apple TV Plus and starring Saul's Emmy-nominated co-star Rhea Seehorn. In an interview that came out this afternoon from Variety, Gilligan said that it's a science fiction epic. It takes place in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Gilligan now lives, and will start filming there in a few months. And yes, he adds, no crime and no mess. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Halifax, Nova Scotia, an interradio exclusive, the executive producer and co-writer of both Virgin River, the big Netflix hit, and now Sullivan's Crossing, which premiered last night on the CW, Roma Roth. Roma, congratulations. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Reaction from viewers about how you did with Sullivan last night.
Well, I was definitely looking at the social media websites to see how it resonated with people, and I only saw positive reviews, so, you know, that's a win so far.
And you're going with momentum because the CW already, as well as CTV, which runs the show in Canada, has given you a second season already. How do you think about that?
Well, you know, that we're very blessed, and I'm very excited about that. It's rare, you know, to get a series that people believe in and green light to a second season. So we did really well in the Canadian ratings. We were the highest rated show, I think, in, I don't know if it was 2 or 3 years in Canada. So I think they were very pleased with how it was doing.
How is Sullivan's Crossing similar and different to Virgin River, both of whom come from the same best-selling author, Robin Carr?
Well, they both have, you know, the same heart with regards to hopefulness, but they are different shows, primarily because Virgin River is about a woman who is a fish out of water going into a small town where she doesn't know anybody, and our show, Sullivan's Crossing, is about a woman who is returning home and trying to reconnect with who she once was. So she has family and friends that she already knows and is trying to reconcile who she is now and who she thought she should be, being raised in the city with a different father than the one that she was raised with initially, and who she is now with who she once was.
Mm-hmm. Greg Schwartz, the head of the CW programming, when he talked about the show in a press release, had this to say. He says that you have relatable themes of self-reflection, chances, and the power of community. What do you want this series to say about all three of those themes? Second chances, self-reflection, the power that the community has.
Well, the theme of the show, and this may or may not answer your question, but the theme of the show is that the longest road you'll ever travel, the longest road you'll ever take is from your head to your heart. And it's a show that's supposed to allow people, the audience, to find hope and inspiration in the troubled world that we live in today. So the power of community is something that a lot of people during COVID and the trials and tribulations that we've had over the years have lost, since we're spending a lot of time virtually connecting with one another. So this is a show that kind of is hoping to inspire people to reconnect with one another in the real world and be more community-driven and support one another.
Because the main character played beautifully, and I saw the episode last night by Morgan Cohan, is someone in the medical community. Does the pandemic get referred to in the course of the series?
No. I mean, we thought as a whole, all the networks and myself, that people had enough of COVID. So we do talk about the economy being difficult and allude to it, but we never show anything that's COVID-related, and I don't think that's something that we need to see on television since we're experiencing it in our real world. I think we want to give people more of a lifeline rather than shining a light on things that are going on currently in our lives that we don't really want to have to think about.
And you were mentioning hopefulness also before. How does that come into play with not just her character, but the other characters in the series?
Well, everybody in the show, you also asked me what the difference between the show and Virgin River. Our tone of our show is stylistically different, and we really have kind of a peeling of the onion, slow burn that we do with all of our characters, who are all wrestling with different emotions and past troubles. So the fact that they're all together and supporting one another through those trials and tribulations is the hopefulness that you get in the show, which we hope will inspire the rest of the world to follow suit and to be more community-driven and more supportive of one another. And to inspire
Roma
hope.
Ross, she is not only... I'm sorry, Roma, go ahead. You were about to say something.
No, I was just saying, and to inspire hope for everybody who's watching.
There we go. You're hearing Roma Ross. She is not only the executive producer and co-writer of Sullivan's Crossing, which you can now catch on the CW Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, followed by The Spencer Sisters, the new series co-starring Leah Thompson, at 9. She is also one of the executive producers of Virgin River, and she's the president of Real World Management, the production company behind both series. She joins us live from Halifax, Nova Scotia, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And we're live wherever you are across the country, around the world. You're joining us too. Simon Adam, I'm with you live from the U.S. of A., namely wherever you are, 65 degrees at the top of the hour. Let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or to use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Tomorrow on Tomorrow Be Televised, our third episode of the week, we will have the executive producer of the ABC local stations around the country's latest venture, Our America Unforgettable. It's the latest in their docu-series specials that run on various stations around the country and also on Hulu and Localish. And this one deals with the plight of Latino families where one member of their family is suffering from Alzheimer's disease. Our America Unforgettable. unforgettable. It premieres on Saturday on the ABC stations in San Francisco and Los Angeles in prime time, Sunday afternoon here in New York and Chicago, and elsewhere around the country the following week. Zynga Blake will join us. She's the executive producer of Our America Unforgettable. She'll be with us live tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Roma, what lessons have you learned from doing Virgin River and seeing that become a mega hit on Netflix that you took over to Sullivan's Crossing?
What lessons I learned? Wow, that's a hard question. I think that bringing powerful, emotional programming to the world is an ingredient that allows us to create a hit show. So I think with Sullivan's Crossing, we decided that we wanted to include talent who had a larger fan base than we did on Virgin River, although obviously Martin Henderson and the other actors are all well-known talent. But we wanted to bring in people who also had were generating, a big social media fan following. And so we brought on Chad Michael Murray, Morgan Cohen, and Scott Patterson.
Did you expect in doing the casting that you would have two stars of former CW series, One Tree Hill in one situation, and Gilmore Girls in the other? In Chad Michael Murray and Scott Patterson?
I didn't plan it that way. It wasn't, but I was looking for a talent that moved the needle, both from a creative, talented standpoint, as well as from having a known, recognizable fan base, and also would resonate with people from the 80s and 90s that would recognize them, because I one of the things that I saw trending were that a lot of these particular actors resonated not only with people who were my age, but also people who are my daughter's age, who she's about, at the time she was like 13, 14, and had a resurgence. So that's why I brought them on.
Now, Morgan Cohen, who, by the way, Brad Schwartz is super high on, and I am after seeing the opening episode. He comes across with a very Diane Lake-like quality. If you remember her from films like A Little Romance, which Turner Classic Movies now runs every chance they get, The Outsiders, her Oscar-winning, I believe, role in Unbreakable, and so forth. She seems to have this very unique inner quality that she can project outward. And she has this very inquisitive, able to improv, able to, react sometimes in a slow burn way, sometimes in a very quick way. How did you find her, and what do you think about her performance?
I think she's outstanding. I think, we were looking, it's a show that is financed through Canadian content contributions from the government, and we needed to find a Canadian talented actor to play that role. And I looked through a lot of demo reels, and we did some auditions, and I brought in Morgan, and she knocked my socks off from day one. She's a genuine human being, both as an actress, but also as a person, and it really, I think, bleeds into her performance how genuine she is, and she brings a very natural performance. She's able to really dig deep in a very subtle way and nuanced way, and we were very impressed by her. She had done I think it was When Hope Calls. Don't quote me, but I think that's right. But other than that, I hadn't seen a large a lot of her work before. And when we brought her in, she was astonishing. She really was. She's a very, very talented and wonderful human being.
When you asked her to dig deep, Roma, in what way?
Well, just to bring, there's the character of Maggie goes through a lot in Sullivan's Crossing, and I needed somebody who could bring the emotion that you want to connect with her emotionally in order to root for her. And so I needed to see that she was going to be able to bring not just that performance, but also the romance and the chemistry with Chad Michael Murray to make sure that would be something that also resonated with our audience. So, and she was able to do both. And it's hard to find, truthfully, an actor who can bring both chemistry and nuance and emotion and tears. She's able to bring tears, and then in the next take she's smiling, and you know, on the turn of a dime. It's really astounding to watch her performance.
Let's dig deep into what is appearing to be a triangle that's at the heart of this show, is that we have this character who both has to deal with reuniting with her father, who runs this camp on this beautiful location. By the way, the cinematography location is incredible. We'll get to that in a moment. And also Chad's character, who is sort of a boy meets girl, boy gets girl kind of thing. And if you saw the show last night, I was very interested in that scene where he's like trying to apologize for something he said earlier, and you think, oh, he's going to start dating the girl, start dating the woman. And she comes back at, yeah, I accept your apology, and nope, don't want to be with you. I'm curious how you are trying to play with that sort of, that triangle of father, possible lover, and her.
The triangle. Trying to figure out the triangle on that. So, which scene are you referring to?
Toward the end of the, where she first of all is having this wonderful, I don't know who plays her friend, she's also very good, where they're having tequila. And it was very easy how natural that was. It wasn't like, and he's talking, and Mary's talking with Patterson's character at the barbecue. Then he comes over to see her.
Right.
And they get into the, I'm sorry about, what happened here. And so it was, next to last scene.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that, I'm not sure about the triangle with the dad. The triangle we're setting up is with her her boyfriend and her current boyfriend and Chad Michael Murray, who plays Cal. The dynamic is that there, for any good romance show, you definitely want to have a meet cute at the top of the show, and then you want to have the two characters who are going hopefully one day to fall in love to not get along, because otherwise, if they already start in a place where they are getting along, you've got no arc. So we're trying to build on that tension and create sexual tension to allow the audience to root for them to be together, which is what we're going for. And then, to have this interesting dynamic with an estranged father who she already has some baggage with and history and is carrying around some negative feelings about, that's an interesting dynamic that we thought a lot of people in the world would be able to identify with, since I don't know anybody who doesn't have some issues with their parents. it was definitely something that, she's not, I don't think she's really pulled between her potential love interest and her father. It's just a two different dynamics that are going there. And then there'll be a third, dynamic that will come into play with, obviously, Andrew, who we introduced at the top of the show, who is her current boyfriend.
Where did you film the program?
We're shooting in Nova Scotia, in and around Nova Scotia. Last year, I think we were in between a curling rink for some of our sets, and then on location, kind of out 45 minutes outside of Halifax. With a beautiful landscape that you see there. That actual outpost is an actual place. So we were shooting on location.
The program is Sullivan's Crossing. The next episode is next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local CW station, including WPX-TV here in New York. Don't forget that right after is the next episode of The Spencer Sisters, co-starring Leah Thompson. Roma Roth is the executive producer of Sullivan's Crossing. She's also the co-writer, and she also is the executive producer of the popular Netflix series Virgin River. And yes, we'll have a question or two about that shortly. If you have a question or comment on our mini minutes with Roma, give a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. We'll have another trio of episodes coming your way next week, next Monday, Thursday, and Friday at this hour. And coming your way next Thursday, we'll talk to the founder of a very unique organization known as the Casting Collective. His name is Logan Clark. On some series, he works as an executive producer. On others, he is the main casting person. And he's worked on such shows as American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. He's currently working on a new series coming to Hulu next month. You might call it the gay and lesbian version of Ghost Hunters. Logan Clark from the Casting Collective will join us next Thursday. That's October 12th, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. On some episodes, you co-write, and on some episodes, you are the full writer. What is it like to go back and forth between writing episodes by yourself versus writing episodes with somebody else on the team?
Well, as the showrunner of the show, that's kind of my job to be able to make sure that the tone of the show is consistent across all episodes, right? If you have different people writing, then you need a showrunner that's going to be doing that consistently. And the you know, to work with another writer is it's always lovely because you've got somebody to share the work with. Versus doing it on your own. But we tend to break, for season one, we broke all of the outlines and stories together as a room. So we all were very familiar with what each of the episodes was going to be because we had a 10-episode season order and had to figure out what was going to happen between episode one and episode two. So it's I think that's it wasn't difficult. It's something that, you know, as a writer that it is something that most writers do anyway, so it came pretty easy.
And when you assembled your writer's room and your producer director, did you ask them for certain things, give them like particular ground rules about how they should look at writing scripts, how they should develop characters, how they should work with Robin Carr from the original novel or story material to bring out the best?
Well, I asked everybody to read the books. That's important. We don't want to alienate our wonderful readership for Robin, who has a very big fan base as well for the books. Obviously, you have to take some liberties with the storylines. So we asked them to read the books, and then we spent, you know, quite a bit of time in development where we were talking about character and how we were going to differentiate the books and the show, because when you have books, you have a certain amount of pages that you can get the story in. And plus, each book in the Robin Carr series is a romance unto itself. So we have to actually fill in the gaps and the missing pieces that aren't on the page in order that we don't have everything happening in, you know, one season, that it allows us to have somewhere to go moving forward for multiple seasons, because the hope is that we're going to be on the air as long, if not longer, than Virgin River. We also collaborated with Robin. She gives us a lot of freedom. There's no negativity if we make any kind of changes, although I do talk directly with her to see when we're making changes, if she's supportive of them or not, before we make them.
Let's go back to the theme that Brad Schwartz was talking about, the power of community. Because a lot of times when you look at individual characters, you look at a main storyline, community, unless maybe the show like Community, the famous comedy that Dan Harmon did years ago on NBC, that doesn't come up that often. How do you visualize the power of community?
How do I present it on screen, or how do I visualize it?
Both. How do you and the people that work with you visualize and make it a message that the viewer gets?
I think, you know, watching characters who are supporting one another, but not in a cliche way, not in an on-the-nose way, but is more genuine, that people care. It's about caring, right? It's about caring and supporting one another and carrying one another in your times of darkness. But people, this isn't a fluff show. This isn't a show where people don't have real problems and real feelings. It's a show that is supposed to be reflective of what people go through in the real world and the journeys that these characters are going through, and the trials and tribulations are realistic and resonate with a global audience. So what you want to do is show people who care about one another, support one another, and listen to one another, which are things, I think those three things that are indicative of community.
Has it hit you how big a hit just in Canada, not just the United States, but around the world, the Virgin River has become through Netflix?
You know, I still pinch myself, and myself and my business partner, Christopher E. Perry, when we set out to do Virgin River and when I had first approached Robin Carr, I knew it was going to be a hit. I know that sounds weird, but I had a very clear vision as to how that show would connect with a global audience. I didn't expect it to go as big, of course, as it did. That just exceeded any of my expectations, but I did think it would resonate with people because I felt that the programming that people are watching had started to kind of take a left turn, and that people needed, like I said before, some sort of a life preserver in dark times. The universe that we live in and the world we live in today, there's so much darkness outside. So I wanted to give people a lifeline, and shows like This Is Us, which really connected emotionally with people. I kind of looked at that and analyzed how that worked. But then I decided I wanted to bring in an IP, which is intellectual property, such as Robin Kerr, who had already an established, a very large established, I think it was 37 million, if I'm correct, readership. So I felt that we could expand on that by adding in the pieces that we thought would connect, and adding in interesting actors into the mix. So yes, we're blessed. I'm happy that it resonated as it did with a global audience, and I'm very grateful that people are watching.
And before you go, people should know that you also had your own production company, Real World Management, which worked with Fremantle and the CW on bringing Sullivan's Crossing to life. And Chris Perry is also involved with you, your fellow executive producer. What's the game plan for next year? What are you looking at doing besides a second season of Sullivan?
Oh, well, we have a lot. You mean the company? We have a lot of other IP right now based on books that have readerships anywhere from 50 million to half a billion eyeballs that come with the intellectual property, and we're looking at doing programming and developing programming that really resonates with an audience. So it doesn't have to be necessarily romance all the time, but it has to be emotionally driven programming that emotionally and connects with an audience and gives them a really nice way to escape from their reality and root for characters that are in those books that we're developing. So we have everything from mysteries to epic Western ranch projects, and we're working with Debbie Maycomber, and we're working with Mary Higgins Clark and a number of other, and we're working with the Jackie Collins estate, so we have a lot of IP that we're working on developing.
And Debbie Roma was on our show years ago when she was doing Cabot Cove for the Hallmark Channel, which ran a long time with Andy McDowell in the lead, and a terrific guest, by the way, too, so please give her our best. I hope that she will do something great for your organization. Terrific writer.
Will do. Will do.
The program is Sullivan's Crossing. Episode 2 comes your way next Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local CW station. Check your local info where the CW is in your area. It also runs on the CW app, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Here in New York, it's WPX-TV Channel 11, which is now celebrating its 75th anniversary on the air. And don't forget Virgin River. It's playing on Netflix, which is available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles in some areas of your local cable system. For more details about the Sullivan's Crossing show online, www.cwtv.com, and for Virgin River, Netflix.com. Roma Roth, executive producer of Sullivan's Crossing and Virgin River, thank you again for making the time for this. Congratulations on the launch of Sullivan last night and the second season already on the CW. And hopefully what started last night is going to be running for a lot and a very long time. It's been great having you on.
For your lips, God's ears, thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome, Roman. Congrats to your cast and crew as well. Take care. Have a super weekend ahead.
Okay, bye-bye.
Roman Roth, executive producer of Sullivan's Crossing and Virgin River, joining us live from Halifax, Nova Scotia. More tomorrow be televised coming your way, but first some words from our wonderful sponsor, Laird Superfood. Are you ready to feel more energized, focused, and supported? Go to LairdSuperfood.com and add nourishing plant-based foods to fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Use the promo code TELEVISED at checkout to save 15% off your purchase today. Now, if you're looking for a better coffee experience, for example, try out Laird Superfood Creamers. They're produced from high-quality, all-natural ingredients, sustainably sourced, and whole food all the way. No artificial flavors, colors, or additives. Ramp up your energy and focus today with Laird Superfood Creamers, available at LairdSuperfood.com. That's LairdSuperfood.com. Remember, you save 15%. code TELEVISED, TELECASED, at checkout. We come back. Classic trivia question of the week. Why our planned second guest is not here. And I'll have some further thoughts about where we stand with the SAG-AFTRA strike and the negotiations going on with AMPTP. All that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and Tune.com. Together, reaching over 90 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR is your home for That's Entertainment Online Radio. It's your new entertainment news and pop culture source. And that's happening today at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. That's Entertainment Online Radio today, 3 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Eastern, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best BTR always comes your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. More and more available on your smart TV set or device. Welcome back to more of Tamavi Televised. Happy to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York on the 5th of October, 2023. Welcome to those of you just joining us at the bottom of the hour. And this portion of our program is brought to you by Online Grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime, anywhere. Initially, we were going to have with you on this program right about now, Philip Lomax. He is the Executive Vice President of a very unique organization based here in New York called Media Science. I had the wonderful opportunity of visiting Philip and touring his facility in Midtown Manhattan, not far from Times Square, on Tuesday. He was going to be with us this half hour, right about now. Unfortunately, at around 2 o'clock Eastern time, about an hour or so ago, we learned from his organization that because of an emergency late in coming, Philip will not be with us today. Too bad about that. We are going to reschedule him for next week. And if you want to find out in the meantime more about Media Science and the incredible work they do to find out why you watch television, certain kinds of TV and not others, MediaScience.com. That's www.MediaScience.com. In a moment, we will have our classic trivia question of the week, and I'll have some final thoughts about where we stand with the Screen Actors Guild AFTRA strike with AMPTP and the fact that they're not talking today. For the second time this week, they did it on Tuesday, and they're not doing it today. And I'll have a reaction to that. But first, here's a word from our newest sponsor, Sun and Swell. Now, if you haven't heard of them, you want to know that Sun and Swell is the first online grocery store with a fine line of healthy, great-tasting foods that come to you in plastic-free, compostable packaging. Every item is 100% vegan, gluten-free, and free of added preservatives or ingredients. We're talking about rolled oats, trail mix, apple rings, apple pie bars, energy bites, banana chips, love banana chips, nuts, mango, everything. And they get thousands of five-star reviews for their items and how they're packaged. Now, if you're looking for a more planet-friendly pantry, shop Sun and Swell and get 20% off site-wide when you go to sunandswellfoods.com, that's sunandswellfoods.com, and use the promo code TELEVISED at checkout. That's 20% off your entire order when you use the promo code TELEVISED, TELECISED, at sunandswellfoods.com. And I promise you, you will be satisfied. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. We introduced it on Mondays, our second time around for this. And once again, if you are first with the correct answer by email, you'll win a wonderful quartet of prizes. We've got two great musical CDs for you, Chicago's Greatest Hits, with songs like If You Leave Me Now, Another Rainy Day in New York City, Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is, 25 to 6 to 4, Maybe What a Big Surprise, all the great ones. And the Lifetime Women in Rock Intimate Portrait CD with great tunes by The Bangles, Cyndi Lauper, The Eurythmics with Annie Lennox, Linda Ronstadt, Michelle Shock, Laura Branigan, Bananarama, and more, including Kat Benatar. And we've got a wonderful Uber card that you get from the fine folks at AMC Networks. And from any winning producer and writer of Northern Exposure, Jeff Melbourne, who was on this program more than a month ago, it's his brand-new best-selling book, Running the Show, Television from the Inside. And all that can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name the dog star in the 1950s TV series Topper. Name the dog star from the 1950s TV comedy series Topper, starring Ann Jeffries, her husband at the time, Robert Sterling, and the inimitable Leo G. Carroll as Cosmo Topper. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04 at yahoo.com. That's simonapple04 at yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will get those prizes. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and X. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon T TWBT. That's the UBT Simon, TWBT. Once again, the question, name the dog star on the 1950s Topper television series. You can see episodes on YouTube. Name the dog star on the 1950s television comedy series Topper. I believe it was on CBS from 1955. First of the answer, you win. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in there. So go ahead and play. Do it today. And, of course, all the very best. Before our final comment, I want to give a shout-out to the wonderful people at New York University Stern School of Business. Yesterday, I had the fantastic opportunity, which I've had for a number of years now, to be in the media classes of one great professor, Al Lieberman, to talk about the world of television, current and future. It's always a pleasure. We had to stop it and go virtual rather than in person when the pandemic hit here in New York City. But I'm happy to say that the pandemic is over. We're complete. We're in the new normal now for quite a while. And it was great to just be back there. We did it in a wonderful room, 200, beautiful sort of theater in the half round style, if you will. And it was just great. Two terrific classes back to back. A lot of fun. And they also serve a great tuna fish sandwich in that cafeteria at Stern School. So thank you, Professor Al Lieberman. Thank you to all the students for being there. It was a great pleasure to have you. Some of you, I hope, are listening to our show today, and we really do appreciate you. So thanks, and let's do it again next semester, shall we? We shall. And now, a final comment. As we mentioned in our news notes, today, the Screen Actors Guild, AFTRA, and the Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers are not talking, despite the fact that they had a meeting, all-day meeting, yesterday, which according to Variety and other entertainment news sources, there was, and finally bringing to a finish, their almost three-month-old strike. Did they negotiate today? No, they took a day off. It's the second time this week they did it. They had negotiations on Monday, negotiations, incidentally, that were attended by Bob Iger, the head of Walt Disney, Donna Langley, the content head at NBC Universal, David Zaslav, head of Warner Bros. Discovery, and Ted Sarandos, the co-chief executive of Netflix. All of them were present for four or five straight days negotiations with the Writers Guild several weeks ago that resulted in their deal, which, by the way, is now in the ratification process among their membership. Did Screen Actors Go After do the same thing? No. On Monday, they talked. On Tuesday, took a day off. Yesterday, they talked. Today, day off. And now they're saying, we'll negotiate Friday, and if we can't get a deal by Friday, we're not talking on Saturday, we're not talking on Sunday, we'll talk Monday. That's the latest. Reaction. Are you crazy? Are you stupid? How can you, if you're making progress to a resolution on a new three-year deal with AMPTP, and this is going to the SAG-AFTRA leadership, why are you not talking today? Have you ever heard of a thing called momentum, that the best way to build momentum is to stay in the negotiating table, stay there and make the deal? And SAG-AFTRA, by the way, when they announced this situation of we'll talk Friday and then we won't talk during the weekend and we'll talk again on Monday, no explanation, nada. And you got to wonder, what does the membership think about this, especially if they realize that four straight days of negotiations produced a deal with the Writers Guild, and that this television industry going back into full business with writers and actors and directors and production people are working together, so what world they're in. The leadership is in, led by Fran Drescher. So I have a request for Fran Drescher and Duncan Crabtree Ireland and everybody from SAG-AFTRA who is at the negotiating table. Tomorrow, when you come back to that bargaining table with AMPTP and those four big media honchos, if you are making progress, don't leave the table Saturday. Don't leave the table Sunday. Don't wait until Monday to make a deal. You stay there, and you make a deal. It's not about you anymore. It's about getting the TV industry back in business. And if you are making progress, stay there. Don't leave. Don't take time off. The deal. We're all waiting for you now. Stop acting immature and start getting mature and let's work a deal. It's time to get the TV industry back to work. All of it. And it starts with a deal. You will not get a deal away from that bargaining table. You will not get a deal on the picket line. You will get a deal face-to-face, just like the writers did, just like the directors did. It's time to bring this to a halt. And SAG, after membership, if you hear this, put the pressure on the leadership to do it. A wonderful television viewership eagerly awaiting your members back on the tube. Again, I want to thank Roma Ross from Sullivan's Crossing and Virgin River being our guest in the first half hour. Again, I want to apologize for Philip Novak of Media Science not being here because of an emergency at his place that developed over the last hour. And I'm really looking forward to having him on, hopefully in one of our episodes next week. Don't forget, we will be on tomorrow with our third episode of this week, and joining us will be the executive producer of the new ABC special, Our America, Unforgettable, Nzinga Blake. This is one of the ongoing chapters of their series, Our America, which runs on many of the ABC-owned stations around the country, also runs nationally via Hulu and Localish. This special will be launching on Saturday night in prime time on the ABC stations in San Francisco and Los Angeles, Sunday afternoon here in New York on WABC, and in Chicago on WLS-TV, and then rest of the country will see it either during the weekend or throughout next week on Hulu and Localist. So Nzinga Blake, the executive producer of Our America, Unforgettable, dealing with the issues Latino families have with family members dealing with Alzheimer's disease. I've heard it a really powerful and inspiring special, despite the subject matter. And we're looking forward to having Nzinga on tomorrow. Thank you again for joining us today. We really do appreciate you. And we want to remind you that episodes are missed. We've had some great episodes in the last few weeks. Well, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our website anytime you like from the great people at On Podium. We'll put it together. It's tomorrowbetelevised.com. That's tomorrowwillbetelevised, all one phrase, .com. And remember, we are now carried on more podcast sites than ever, more than 40. The iHeartRadio Podcast Network, the Zencaster Creator Network, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, many, many others. So they appreciate your support, so do we. And we want to hear from you. What do you think about Roma today? What's your thoughts about Sullivan's Crossing and her other shows with her group, including her fantastic show, the sensational Virgin River on Netflix? Hopefully going into a new season next year. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And remember, when you do, please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. Use that same email to get involved in our classic trivia question contest. One more time, here's the question. Name the dog star of the 1950s TV comedy series Topper. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And remember to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. Also, use that email to suggest a show to know. That's another one of our regular features. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get attention, whether it's currently or coming up? We want to hear about it, and we'll promote it on the show. And we have to hear from you first. Remember, it's a show that you like, that doesn't get enough attention, either marketed or promoted or publicized, or it falls on the radar screen of critics and people like yours truly. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, you can always communicate with me on social media, LinkedIn and Facebook at Simon Applebaum, and X or Twitter at UBCSimonWBT. That's Facebook or LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, and X or Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. However we hear from you, I go back to you ASAP within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Andy Toe is BGR's general manager. Website services provided by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow We Televised is brought today by online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and tasty faves anytime. And by Laird Superfood, plant-based coffee creamers and other products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. For Tomorrow We Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Thursday. Back tomorrow with our executive producer from Our America, Unforgettable. 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our web and podcast affiliates. Whatever you're doing between now and then, of course, please make it safe and always make it great for you and others you love. Until the next time, stay well and Stay tuned.